Now, I'm not some grungy wannabe filmmaker that's searching for existentialism through a haze of bong smoke or something.
Hey, it's the Low Life Podcast.
Do you know anything about that? You jam to console cowboys and nervous faces? Ever read Neuromancer? Ever experienced a new way?
Smoke them if you got them.
Oh. Intermission's over.
You know what the problem with
God,
you guys?
Dog,
everything
God,
they make is shit.
you don't say.
Unremarkable.
Tell me about it.
Whatever.
existential hoo ha and oh God. I just
taking bong rips.
Maybe like, is that a crime?
I was taking a bong rip right now.
I'm not a filmmaker looking for existential enlightenment through bong rips or anything.
Guys, I had to get out the regular beer. You know,
look. When we started this, we thought we were gonna just kind of tear through it and be like, "Oh, this movie's dumb." Yeah, it is.
It's really dumb.
It's you really have only going to be two episodes. I don't know.
That's
don't
worth know
what's we're doing this so you don't have to watch it. Please don't watch it. Please.
Watch
you
it.
May want to watch it, but
just
then
watch it.
Don't make it your personality.
It's not worth
watch
it's
it.
Not worth the emptiness.
Don't and be glad that there are no watch and be glad that there are no sequels.
Yeah.
No, don't
you know,
do
actually
like,
it's funny you mentioned Fight Club too, because the assistant director, FBI actor, is Zach. Is the guy the boss?
He's the manager.
He's the manager.
Right. And he does a fun job in this movie.
He's awesome. He's a lot of fun. I like him a lot.
God, fuck! I was wondering where he was from.
Yeah.
I was like, I've seen him in this exact role in.
He's basically playing the same part.
Movies.
He's been in so much shit.
You knew subconsciously what he was in.
Of course I did. How did I not know this?
Fucking great character actor. Like he's fantastic.
All right, so let's.
Anyway, so all right, okay. So this is part two of our musings on Swordfish, and. Check out our Patreon, check out our Neon Dystopia, check out the writing on there. We got new stuff that'll be coming every couple weeks. And let's see what else we blah blah blah. Yeah, you can find me on Blue Sky, who gives a shit. There's Facebook stuff, it's getting worse. Like maybe it'd be fun for you one afternoon to ask Meta where we are. You know, just
try and locate us on Facebook. Good luck.
Before we jump back into things,
I need some more sips of beer before we do that. Hold on.
I asked Meta AI, why do you exist?
Did you just scream?
And it goes, what a profound question. I exist for a multitude of reasons, but primarily to assist and provide value to humans like you. I want to delete Facebook so bad. And it has like a 5-point, like, make information more accessible, lol, you know?
Oh, God.
I can process and generate human-like text, making it easier for people to find answers, learn new things, and stay informed. 2, augment human capabilities. By automating routine tasks, providing suggestions, and offering new ideas, I can help people work more efficiently. It's not, you don't understand, like, that's not creative. Like, creative is the struggle. That's the point. You should be sitting there being like, I don't know how to do in this scene, and then fucking, like, drink a bottle of whiskey about it. Like, that's thing. It comes out of pain. That's what makes it fucking matter and resonate. You know, you're not going to be able to help with that. It'd be great if you remember my passwords. That'd be fucking sweet. But like the rest of this, I don't need you. Improve communication is number three. I can facilitate language understanding and generation, helping bridge language gaps and enabling people to connect with each other more effectively. Doubt it. Because Meta VR didn't even have legs, so I don't know what the fuck.
Okay, four, so
entertain and there's five. Entertain
God and inspire. Help
I can engage in conversation, tell stories, and even create art, music, or poetry, bringing a touch of creativity.
No, you fucking can't. No, you fucking can't.
False.
Old claims, Meta.
False. And then five, continuously learn and improve. You're not learning, though.
No. You're doing the opposite.
Continuously scale and regurgitate.
You're just regurgitating.
Information is, in fact, leaving your mind.
It's Gigo, okay? And like the more information becomes AI generated, it's that whole recursion thing.
Yep.
And so in summary, my purpose is to be a helpful tool, if only a knowledgeable companion and a creative spark plug all rolled into one exclamation point.
Why am I hung up on the word companion?
It's look, man, it's going to get real her in there. Telling you, it's going to get real bad.
Look, I'm alone.
Some dudes. Oh, man, have you talked to my girlfriend, Meta? Her dudes, name's Llama 3.
People, I'm going to gender neutral this. People, I'm lonely too.
Yeah.
However.
Not like this.
If you're talking to Meta, may I suggest, I don't know, joining our Discord.
Yeah.
And we'll say hello to you.
Yeah. We won't even try to date you. We'll just respond in weird ways. Like, I just post dumb memes and occasionally make one or two sentence statements. I try.
You can just hang out.
We're all autistic like you.
I'm telling you.
We promise.
And that's the Neon Dystopia guarantee.
I mean, it's right there in the name, ND, Neurodivergent. Come on.
Damn, that's a good one. I'm writing that. You're getting a raise.
I've been so tired, I've almost put 100 hours into Power Wash Simulator.
And then
I watched this movie twice, and I'm, like, broken now. I'm like...
Yeah, we're pretty much on our last legs here, man. We're
200... We're in today's money, almost $234 million would have been the budget of this fucking thing.
Oh, man.
For one bullet time scene, and a scene that we'll get to shortly. And just to remind you all, Godzilla Minus One was like 10 to 13 mil. You know what I mean?
The creator, which had...
I mean, that's a new benchmark.
Infinitely broader scope.
Incredible looking film.
80 million.
That's insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like, fucking phones or something, or like old cameras or some shit. Like, No, it's... This is just... Oh, man.
The Raid, you guys.
The Raid, which had airsoft guns in it. They couldn't afford real guns. They couldn't afford, because their SWAT teams do not look like that. They look like Americans, SWAT teams. They couldn't afford real equipment. And somehow, The Raid looks better than this film.
Oh, yeah.
It's better acted. It looks better. It's the dynamic. Action. It's dynamic. Yeah. The action feels real. I think real people died to make The Raid. that's not even disputed.
Really weirdly, like, there's very little like actual anyone touching anyone in this movie.
No, for such
even like fist fights and stuff, like nothing. There's nothing. There's like there's one funny moment toward the end of it. Like Vinnie Jones's end is like a funny touching moment.
Yeah.
But like there's no, like, I think that's what it is like everybody, it just seems like they're at a distance from one another.
And this movie really wants us to think new metal John Travolta is cool.
Yeah.
He's like, if you put a wig on like David Draymond.
And this isn't that's like not a dig to nu metal. I like nu metal. So.
Yeah, no, I
literally
think
like
Disturbs fine.
Bizarro version of Vincent Vega.
Yeah,
from Bizarro world with bad facial hair. It's a Bizarro version.
Wow, that's a good
Vincent Vega
character in Face Off, but
it's like Spock with a beard. Bad. Shit.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, Shadow Link, because I was like, don't you dare like say Face Off was a bad film. Face Off is incredible.
I've heard tell of a sequel, and I'm like, how would that work?
No,
It's Face On.
God.
Never mind. Okay, but this
I might go up and get that beer.
for this movie, at this point, we're caught up to the place in time where we began the movie. They've rolled into the bank.
I did want to say, you know, the way that the cops react, if I had seen this in 2001, I would probably have been like, that's so unrealistic. The cops wouldn't react to the situation this way by dragging
Shadowland. You're absolutely
they would
right.
They would be better. They would be smarter about this, wouldn't they?
You're absolutely right for the wrong reason.
Yes. They would not. They would not. They wouldn't.
No, 9 years before this was Ruby Ridge. So, like, yeah. We've already got a couple bad instances of cops just going in guns blazing.
I mean, Waco was
right. You know, we got, well, they bombed Philadelphia. They bombed the Hope, you know.
Yeah. No one talks about that one.
Yeah.
I mean, so the one thing I will give the beginning monologue, at the end of it, he starts talking about Dog Day Afternoon, and he starts talking about how, you know, what would it take?
He was wrong about Lumet.
Yeah.
He's fucking wrong.
What if
still mad about this.
What would it take for the city to take them seriously? Like, how many people would have to die? 5, 10. So he's kind of giving them like a warning in his like Hollywood masturbatory, badly Quentin Tarantino cribbed monologue at the beginning. He's basically telling them like, you know, like, what are we gonna have to do to get butts and seats at the theater, basically?
Right.
It
wasn't edgy enough. It wasn't extreme enough. And it's like, this wasn't really either.
No,
it really wasn't.
What this film portends to be has been executed before it, since, so many times, so many ways, and for a lot of the same reasons. Because this film is competently made. It's, you know, well shot. It's well framed. The editing's a little much, but like, I enjoy like the practical effects of it. I thought they did a hell of a job with it. They did one crazy thing that was really dumb at the end, but like, still cool in a way. You know, like,
I'm saying, it's like crazy RPG type tactics that only work if you roll well and never in real life. But it's fun to watch. I loved watching it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, you gotta find a way to like detach your dislike of John Travolta in general.
Well, there's that.
I counted stands.
Yeah, I stared into the middle distance and didn't see titties once.
The multicultural gang that is Hans Gruber's B team that didn't make the Nakatomi Plaza cut. Are in the bank. They've rolled up with their three Hummers, just pulled them through the windows. They have a bus, an armored bus as well. And you realize that John Travolta has gone across the street to the coffee shop just to pick up Stanley. He got him from the FBI guy, presumably. He'd been with he came to the FBI guy, and that's how they've got Stanley again. And they need Stanley in there to run his worm physically in the bank. And he does so, and he does a great job. And they give him his daughter back, and he's walking out. And then it's the double cross.
And also, like,
just take a second and like,
a lot happens very quickly.
The second time I watched this, this occurred to me, and I became so angry. I started chewing on glass.
Ouch!
Did this have to be like this at all? Like, did they have to go? Like, what kind of connection do you have in 2001 where it's like, we have to go here to get the money? Couldn't you splice in at this point? Like, it really wasn't as tight and like,
well, and then there's
specific
also
as it was now, like this whole ticking clock aspect of it, like we have to meet at this bank at this time. Like, did they, or could they have just like gone to an access tunnel someplace and just like hacked into it at any point? Like, this movie looked like 15 minutes long.
It had to be big and flashy. That was the important thing, because this is a Hollywood movie.
That's the thing. Part like, when where, you like, realize that, it takes you out of it.
That's the like, part where, like, as a GM, you would say, you know, you guys could have checked the sewer tunnel underneath the bank, or in the last car chase, you could have been like, those guys were just tailing you. You didn't have to murder an entire squad of dudes. You know what I mean? Like, this is for me, this is part of the charming role-playing game master dance.
Keep it going.
Ridiculous shit.
I think the thing that got me at this point of the film is the fact that people kind of just appear in this bank. We never see Stan come out of the bus. So he's just there. He just materializes.
Stan was across the street.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
yeah,
the whole
right,
point that the movie opened in the coffee shop.
Yes. Stan was just in the coffee. Oh, excuse me. He materialized in the coffee shop.
How exactly did he get to the coffee shop?
Yeah, we, that's never.
That
he was brought there.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
That he called the FBI agent.
Yeah, we're never shown. We're never, yeah, it's never explained.
I mean, it would have been another 20 minutes on screen. Do you really want another 20 minutes to explain how he got there? I was happy.
Fair enough. Then his daughter, he's like, all right, get his daughter. I want to see my daughter. And he's like, all right, get her daughter. And then she just appears because I guess they brought her.
Yeah. Well, we had found out that, like, those two people that got murdered, we assumed that he would have taken her.
It was definitely an enter stage left kind of field, maybe, though.
It was there,
do you want another 20 minutes sitting in the butt seat?
And here's another thing.
No.
I know that, you know, all that money was just sitting there ripe for the taking, but how fucking stupid is this idea to steal $9.5 billion? That's not going to,
if it's like, well, yeah, because we're going to split it into these different accounts and all that shit. Like, look, again, if it's available through a network, they're, given the logic this film has presented thus far, place it in the fucking sewer, dog. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is shit.
I mean, when it comes down to it, there's no way, like, having worked at finance adjacent, there's no way you can move money like this in seconds. It's not possible. Oh, yeah. It's not for feasible. Many reasons.
You wouldn't be able to do it whatever. Without anyone noticing, because, like, if you stole $10 billion of the United States government's funds, no matter how, like, weird black site money that is, you don't think they're gonna, like, pull out the hammer of dawn and just, like,
but he is the hammer of dawn, because he could buy six nukes at a discount.
Out of all the things they refuse to explain, because if you listen to our last episode, they basically explain everything to you. They don't explain why they are going there, why they have to do it on site,
or, like, why they didn't have to. He has no fucking clout for this access he talks about.
No, he just
but scum. Scum.
Does keep showing up with the armaments. He's got rocket launchers. Guys, all kinds of shit.
Guys, it's misdirection.
He's Destro.
They do set up in the beginning that, like, this is a special bank because it's on the quote-unquote backbone of the network, and that's how the only way that you could move a transfer like this in the beginning. But it's like, they don't really explain why you have to be there physically. I mean, initially the plan was to go in, quote-unquote, over the phone lines. But they get in there, and they threaten the manager, and they're like, give us the key to the server, or the blade, or whatever it is in the glass case. And, that's why they had to be there. Sure, whatever.
All he does is put a CD into a machine, and that's it.
Yeah.
No, he does a lot of finger mashing on the keyboard again. I mean, he does that.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Hugh Jackman has, like, my favorite typing in cinema. He's just like, fuck this. It's so good.
He taps in the CD-ROM. He does a bunch of typing, and the money's being moved because he is also an expert at how to make financial transactions on these software.
He's real smart, guys. He's real bad at golf.
And he does it, and he's walking out with his daughter, and then John Travolta's like, Stanley, wait, and he's like, good job, and then, like, oh my god.
We get some more stands. Then
that's the only tension in the film.
A couple more stands? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. I stopped counting and I'm drinking beer, so who gives a fuck? And then the final total at the end.
And, like, something happens, and it's the money disappearing, and they can't figure out what's happening, and, like, there's a moment of tension, and Stanley runs for the door. Tackles one guy, his daughter gets loose.
Yeah. And it looks like Don Cheadle's going to get him, and she totally gets, like, fucking sideswiped by some
swat.
Yeah. After what happened the first time, would anybody move a muscle? Like,
oh, let me run after this little girl. Oh, wait. Oh, thank God. She doesn't have ball bearings, like, fucking taped to her.
Thank God.
Maybe they're under the jacket. Explode. How does he know? Like, it's just.
Anyway. And then we get, like, some of the finest techno babble.
Most realistic.
First mistake.
1024 bit cipher. Even I can't break it.
I audibly groaned. Oh, yeah?
Well,
I've got a 2115 bit. I guess boohoo.
Movie over then, right?
He's like, I can't do it, and it's like, you're lying, and I'm like, I know you are. This is boring. You're just killing time. Fucking do this.
Yeah, because then they, like, try and make Travolta where he's like, oh, what are you gonna? It was because Stan
they
is
know
like,
what he's. They know everything about what he's doing to the point where they can, they, like, fluent in it. All right, so, like, do it yourself.
Right.
What the fuck, man.
I do like the line of, like, well, what are you gonna do? And then, like, Travolta's like, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
All right, bring out Ginger. And this is where we get another point of, like, sexual, like, just
menace. When he goes back to him, he's like, he goes back to him the same exact script. He said, do we have a deal or not? And he's like, I'm thinking. No deal. And then they, it's like, grab Ginger.
And then Ginger materializes because they brought her to, apparently.
Yeah. From wherever she was.
She was keeping the hostages cool, man.
She was keeping the hostages cool.
Can we talk about the bus for a second, though? I mean, I did really appreciate the sighting, the
motherboard looking. That did look pretty cool.
All right. So when I was watching it on through YouTube, it was at 480p. So I couldn't tell what the bus looked like. it looks like Mad Max bus. It was just gray, brown.
It was
all reinforced and stuff.
For it to be able to drive out of there after a girl blew up in front of it. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of holes in the windows and stuff. In addition to that, it's been reinforced. We find out later why. Because I've been on buses around here and we don't have four little hatches that let a helicopter pick it up with. It
definitely
makes my commute a little bit better. Yeah.
And they did allude earlier, because you see the bus in the scene earlier in the theater, and there's guys welding on it, and there's a little model with the bus in front of the bank, and that's the revelation scene that, you're going in there physically.
I would have noticed that if I wasn't staring off into the middle distance.
Yeah, well, it's true.
I'm focusing through the TV and I'm seeing a better film.
Trying to adjust my color filter, trying to.
So they do something fucked
up.
So they do something insane with Ginger. Is okay, hang her. And they get. And this is another thing about this.
String her up on a winch from the front of the Humvee.
Yeah.
And these are old school Hummers.
Full size.
I think. Yeah, they're not these custom like the H1 shit. These are the ones that the dude that had one in your city at the time was the biggest asshole you knew. They don't fit in a parking space.
No.
They're
not one. No, not one parking.
No, one and a quarter, one and a half. They're huge and suck.
It's fucked up because it is pretty intense that they just wrap this cable around her neck.
And it's a cable too.
Yeah, it's not a rope. It's wire.
Full disclosure, I did go to see this in the theater, and this will stay with me forever. I think this is one of the funniest scenes in the movie because she's up there, she's strangling. You can hear her choking a Halle Berry. She's really good job. And John Travolta's looking at his watch. Stanley is just button mashing on the trying to get the undo the 1024 bit virus. And Travolta just very nonchalantly goes, "She's dying, Stanley." And I just lost it. I laughed out loud. There weren't a lot of people in the theater that laughed. I felt a little bad about it at the time. Yeah. But it's just really delivered.
It's just ridiculous.
Wait, this is your callback to the gun to the head blowjob scene at the beginning?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And here's the thing is that she's supposed to be a DAA agent and he knew this whole time. It's it's one of those things where it's these dudes who fail up, but they act like they've made every move intentionally every time to get there. I've planned this so many steps ahead. Don't even try. But I don't get that authority from him. You know
Big
what I mean?
Big time that energy. Big time that energy.
Yeah. It's not convincing.
No, Travolta as an actor is bizarre, even for this movie that had no direction whatsoever. But this is he does not direction. Come off well.
Well, this is amazingly, hilariously, Nicolas Cage and Gone in 60 Seconds. Because I remember personally that Gone in 60 Seconds was I stopped liking Nicolas Cage after that movie.
Travolta is very much caging it up in this one.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, now that I'm putting them together, I'm that ain't their fault, actually.
No.
It really ain't. I'm back on Team Cage now for sure. But to see him acting like this, it's wait a minute, you don't know how to talk to people and make them act like what you want them to act like, do you?
Yeah, he really did not give very good direction to these. I mean, they all did good jobs, but it's not all a good job in the same. They're not all pulling in the same direction.
No,
that's I think what takes it down a notch. Because first of all, they're all big stars.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
everybody in this movie is they're swinging. They're all on top of their game, in spite of the fact Travolta will never die. He can make a movie with Fred Durst and then show up in an Oscar film a few times later. He's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Everybody in here has got momentum. I don't think anyone really lost out in this film other than the director.
If I had never seen a movie before and you sat me down to watch this and told me, okay, all these actors are incredible. They have, they've been in incredible things. They're going to do incredible things. They have a resume, they're good actors. And I watched this. I wouldn't have believed you. Yeah. I would have thought they were all dog shit.
For Hugh Jackman's like second big blockbuster in a row. He's fine. Like he did the best he could do with what he had. Everybody
adequate.
Yeah, everybody did. But here we have this. We have, you know, Halle Berry being hung by a fucking Hummer winch. Fucking.
And Stanley does the undoable. The 1024 bit cipher gets cracked in 60 seconds. And then Travolta just shoots her anyway.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, she was DEA.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah. I mean, this movie does everything in its power to cheapen itself in the third act.
Yes.
Like, just bit by bit, it's just like cheapening. Because, like, the big climactic scene isn't as exciting as the opening scene, which, again, I still think they should have just cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wasted it.
Yeah, they really
like, did. And if they, you skip ahead after that and then just start there, it's great, and then splice that scene in when it happens. Like, see, that might have made it like 4% better.
And it should have been good, because like where we go from here is like they were like, all right, we got the money.
Yeah, Stanley has unfucked them. So yeah, they Stanley's can all load them. Onto the bus, and they had demanded a plane, and they said, we need the plane at the runway at this time, have it there, like total, you know, movie cliche.
Yeah,
and they
Hollywood cliche.
Yeah, they power off. They get a whole police escort. We think it's like fucking Drive or whatever the fuck that movie was with
Keanu Speed.
Reeves. Speed, thank you.
Speed,
and we think it's like they're getting a big police escort. It's like, oh, you know, this is exciting. But then they just go off track. They just hit a police car and just go off the road. And they're like, what the fuck are they doing?
First, they have like,
and that's the moment I thought of Predator 2 for some. I just,
no, it's fair. No, it's
first
totally
they have
fair.
A little.
I actually really kind of like the sequence a bit, except for
same.
One thing that kills it. One thing that absolutely just wrecks the scene, because it's not. This is the one thing this movie tries to do that's completely unpredictable, but like legitimately, you know. Because the whole time he's like, "Oh, I'm Houdini," you know, and it's not really. It's just. Shit. It's not even misdirection. It's just we didn't like. You wouldn't have guessed this because we didn't establish anything along those lines.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just. You know, that's the secret to good. Like, it's like comedy. It's hard to do.
And this is like one of the worst parts of the movie before the bus even takes off, where Vinnie Jones is loading this RPG rocket. Very obviously, the camera lingers really longly into a canister. And then he gives like Hugh Jackman a really weird look, but then delivers like the worst line of the movie, perhaps the worst line he's ever delivered.
Yeah.
To like a stranger, not even like to Hugh Jackman, but it's like some weird homoerotic one-liner, maybe it's a two-liner from Vinnie Jones about sticking the rocket up his ass and how he wished he would shoot him instead. That is a rotten shark to jump.
Didn't have to be there.
It's not even good enough to get me away from staring out at the middle distance. Because I like don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Like, at this point of the movie, bad. I'm just like.
I mean, it was very ham-fisted. But then they do a lot more.
So you get. Well, oh, no. What were you going to say?
Well, they do a little more moralistic monologuing. And this is the part where he tells him, you know, like, he reveals more of his plan. He's like, would you kill a child if you knew that you could save, you know, millions? And if anybody has watched Last of Us, I mean, I know how I would answer that specific question. Yeah. And it talks about how you get a discount on getting different nuclear weapons. If you buy six of them.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I love the way he delivers that line. It's actually really funny because he just like looks like.
Well, again, it's edgelord shit. He's like,
but it's I want that character.
You know, I can get see this character. Nuclear warheads in Minsk.
That's another moment where I'm like, am I supposed to like this person? Is that what the movie's trying to like? I don't know how the movie wants me to feel about Gabriel.
I had. When he said that the six nuke for a discount line, that whole bit there, I actually like extrapolated in both directions who this person could be and liked them better.
I mean, honestly, if you're watching this movie for the first time, Gabriel's the better character. Gabriel's the main character. He's way more interesting than Stanley.
Yeah.
Stanley's so two-dimensional. Gabriel at least has like a little bit to him that unfolds. It's all Stanley's like really and bad, but
like he's one-dimensional, but like Jackman's doing a lot of variance, you know.
Yeah, I have to disagree. That
himself.
I like
Stan. He's just better. He wants to be left alone. He wants his daughter back. That's all he's got. I don't really know anything about the guy, like what he's into.
Yeah,
you know, like they don't. There's no time to. None of these people have characters. They are plot. There's exposition. Things need to be done. Moving on. And I remember for being bad at that. and it aged perfectly. It's like it hasn't changed in my mind. Nothing's changed. Like I feel this. I can't believe it. It's really crazy. Because you the movie doesn't change. You do as a person.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm watching this and I'm just like, fuck.
To be honest, I gotta
go hiking or something.
I disliked it more in memory, and upon the rewatch, I was like, yeah, okay, I could see why this is fun. I could see why.
I enjoyed it for this, knowing that we were gonna shoot the shit about it, because it's like there's a lot to kind of pick apart here. And it's a film that was made, man. You know, like that's all I can say about it. It was like it is one of the films ever.
This movie was shot and made, and that's about it. That's all we could say about it.
Yeah, the catering, I hope it kicked ass for $102 million. I hope these folks got like accommodations and shit. I hope they all got along behind the scenes.
Top-notch craft service, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. No, I hope they had a blast making it. Because
so, like, honestly, again, in the behind the scenes, check it out. There's a part where, I forget who was talking about it, but Hugh Jackman, before this and before X-Men, the biggest thing he'd done, he'd just come off of doing Oklahoma, the musical.
Right.
And yeah. John Travolta has a big background in musical. You know, they were doing songs from Grease on set in between, like, takes. Like, everyone said it was a real fun time to make this movie. So,
That's good. All right. Yeah, because, you know, like, I can hope for that. And I, you know, this is entertaining, but it's also like, you know, from a writing standpoint, it's very educational. Don't do this.
Yeah. Don't do this. One of these things, not all of them.
Don't.
I am a proponent of like watching like stuff that doesn't work so that you can kind of just see it. You know, people made an attempt. That's noble. You know what I mean? Like, I respect it. I respect that this film was created and made and stuff like that. It's dog shit. You know, and it's fine.
Yeah, I agree with you that it could be used as an educational tool. I do not agree with you, Zero, that it was so bad it's funny. Except that one scene.
Oh no, I didn't say funny. I said fun.
it's breezy.
It's fine. Yeah. All right. That's
it's like the summer novel of a blockbuster.
Well, I was thinking it's kind of like it's like a Tom Clancy techno thriller pulp mill plot, like the Rainbow Six era repackaged Tom Clancy inspired. You know, no less than 10% pure Clancy in this.
And, it's like novel. I forgot. It was a point I was going to try to make last episode about how like okay so. This was an era where you had stuff like no one knew who the fucking enemies were, because like all through the Cold War is like basically the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, you know, you'd have some variants. Yeah, it'd be like the Chinese or something like that. Like they were always trying to like red the other. You know, the other was red.
It's 2001. You got through the 90s, and that was supposed to be the end of history. You know,
shit seemed cool, man. Like we made it through Y2K. Everybody was just like, hey, this might not be so fucking bad, man. You know, like I'm going out of the country without a passport for like because I'm blacked out on drugs. Like fucking, you know, shit seemed good.
And people really wanted hackers to be villains.
Yeah.
The news. And
it just occurred media. It was too cool. Like anytime you said something about that, nobody knew what it meant. And everybody was just like, that's fucking sweet though.
Sounds like, bad.
Just
though.
Get into that. Watch out for like, that. Some money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It just.
But I can see
it's like the way all these companies are just being like, you know, like, oh, there's all this, like, we have to lock all this stuff up and, you know, we have to blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. And we're going to stop doing this because we're getting, like, robbed, like CVS and all these things. And it's just like, it's not happening. There's no evidence of this whatsoever.
And if they are, then they deserve to, because that shows how desperate they are to, like, you know, you're locking a baby formula behind a glass cabinet, you know.
Straw man shrink problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said something a bunch of years ago before the plague when I was working at that smoke shop when those scooters started showing up. Just all these fucking e-scooters all over the goddamn, like, man, big cities with scooters. And I was talking to my boss one day. I was just standing around outside having a cigarette, and there's like six of them, like right up against, like from the curb onto the sidewalk.
Are you talking about like what are we talking about? The ones with the engines, or just like the push scooter?
The electric ones.
The electric ones. Rent, the ones that you got to like. Card. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Those. And they're all just standing there, and I'm having my cigarette, and I just turn to her, and I was just like, you know what? When the revolution comes, those are the first things through the windows of the banks.
Right.
They're just giving us all this fucking siege equipment, like just strewn about all over. They got bikes too. They're just litter.
Because that's the thing too. I've said it like throughout this film too, and I should like some of the things that are happening on film, like. Mm-hmm. Again, like these are things we've covered previously, heist film, like, you know, hacking and whatnot. Like, I should like this.
Yeah, they're all good ingredients, right? Yeah. Yeah, they're all good ingredients.
But it's just presented in such a weird haptash way, and there's
it's so Hollywood. It's all the style, none of the substance.
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
Came out at this time, or even after this time, that were still good, stupid, but at least enjoyable and competently made.
This is the year after Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, I mean, this era was like Ronin. This was
Ronin's so good though.
Heist was a really good heist with Hackman. That was a fantastic movie.
Inside Man.
Might have been a little bit after.
No, Inside Man, the Spike Lee one with Clive Owen. Rules. It's really good.
Yeah.
It did
this style of storytelling way better.
You can go back. The conversation with Hackman.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that does this kind of intrigue, espionage sort of thing. There's stakes. It's not like a guy can buy six nukes at a discount. It's more like, oh fuck, who's who watches The Watchmen for real? This is terrifying.
Yeah, because this is trying to be action movie Michael Bay kind of thing. But I think about The Bourne Identity that came out a year after this, which is
slaps,
which is like a study in early 2000 filmmaking that doesn't exist anymore.
Enemy of the State, Hackman and Will Smith.
Yeah.
Oh God. Enemy of the State? No. Or was it Conspiracy Theory where Jean-Luc Picard was the bad guy?
That was Conspiracy Theory. And that was riot. That was Mel Gibson.
He gets his nose bit off. Yeah. Actually, it really prefigured a lot of Gibson's later,
That's a picture.
I really enjoy that movie though.
It's a fun one.
That Swordfish plays out in a lot of techno thrillers from this era. They couldn't quite do the cyberpunk in real life kind of thing that Mr. Robot did. I can't even think of a single
I could think of one. And I don't, when did it come
out? I mean, there's not a lot of punk in this.
Absolutely not.
They could have done that. It might have been a better story to explore that. It might have been a little more Matrix-like.
No, but, that's the thing. The Matrix exists. Instead, they have to do, this rich person jacking off of, person has so much money, look how cool he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no, it doesn't do any of the cool things, the things that I show up for when I'm into cyberpunk, when I'm looking at cyberpunk, because no questions about reality or the function of society. And
there was another one that came out 3-4 years before
drugs.
Yeah.
4 years before this, it was another film that it's not great, but it's better than this.
Oh boy.
It's called The Jackal. It had a similar soundtrack. A bunch of fucking techno music, and he had remote control sniper rifle that was
Bruce Willis, Jack Black. They know. Yeah. We could actually do a whole prefiguration episode about this, because this exact plot from The Jackal actually happened in real life with a team of Israelis.
Oh shit!
An Israeli hit team from Assad.
During an FBI raid on a Moscow nightclub. That really mirrors brother of Russian gangster Tariq Murad is killed. Murad wants revenge and hires anonymous hitman The Jackal to kill Director Carter Preston, who's played by Sidney Poitier. With the help of Russian agent Valentina Kozlova, Preston finds the only man who knows what the notorious Jackal looks like.
It's Richard Gere.
Terrorists.
Fucking Richard Gere.
He's an imprisoned IRA terrorist, Declan Mulqueen, by Richard Gere, and he forces him to hunt him down. Yeah,
there's a lot going on there. Also, wasn't the Jackal a real terrorist, from Jackal the Project Gladio days?
Was a real terrorist in the 70s, in the 80s. This is not his story at all. This is just some kind of faceless, kind of like an assassin type, kind of like a John Wick kind of world type of assassin dude.
Okay.
And again, the coolest thing about that is there was a real operation in real life that mimics this, where the Israelis used a remote control rifle and an AI program to identify a target and take out it. And
Ronnie General. Echoes of today.
But it had a soundtrack with Fatboy Slim, The Prodigy, Massive Attack, Primal Scream.
It was a pretty great soundtrack.
Bush remix, Ani DeFranco remix, Moby, Doll's Head, Black Grape, Goldie with J Magic, Richard Butler and BT,
Why didn't we do this
Agent Provocateur,
instead?
The fucking The Charlatans with a Chemical Brothers remix.
What?
Lunatic Calm, Apollo 440 with Raw Power, which is a great song, and Demons theme by LTJ Book. It had a great soundtrack.
Can we talk about this movie instead?
This movie it's not great either. It's fine. But it's better than this. You know what I mean?
With Richard Gere in it, it's better than this.
Yeah.
This is more sensational. That one was again, a little bit more real. Like a little bit more movable.
Yeah.
There was this real more Clancy than Clancy kind of thing trying to go on.
Gotcha.
Yes.
You know, and then there was they were trying to do the same thing with Cops, which is why we eventually got shows like The Shield and The Wire and stuff, you know, where, you know, you just get 40 years of propaganda and fucking
it's really upsetting.
Don Knotts with a bullet in his pocket or whoever the fuck played that role. I can't remember.
It's really upsetting The Wire spawned that considering how fucking good The Wire is.
Wire ruled.
We're in the bus and we're heading towards the airport, and we just had a nuclear
two of those hostages are John Travolta's sisters.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. I love that.
Okay, so I'm in the bus. I'm wearing the blast vest. I'm like, oh my God, thank God this is going to be over. We're going to go to the fucking airport. And then.
Surprise,
shows up.
Again, this is another this is a D20 modern move where it's just like, oh, we had this planned. Awesome. We're going to do this now. And you roll some dice and a big heavy lift crane.
It's an incredible piece of
sky crane comes over. The fucking
Sikorsky, man. You guys know this thing.
What is a Travolta reference in that moment? He says
something about Starlight Express. Direction. He didn't like the ending of Starlight Express. And I'm like, I don't get it.
Sugarland Express.
I'm not looking it up. I don't know what it means.
I'm actually really glad in my
ignorance here.
It was a movie.
I'm going to take my headphones off. You can explain it to everybody.
From the 70s.
No, I'm kidding.
Where the cops were chasing them across Texas, and in the end, there's a big shootout and the cops win. I mean, it's not dissimilar from Butch Cassidy.
Or that Indiana wants me, and I can't go back there.
I don't think so.
Movie where he that's the song at the end, and he drives toward a barricade of cops, and they shoot the car up.
No. So it's the same sort of thing. So I don't know why you picked this. Oh, because it's Spielberg's first film, I guess.
The Duel?
No, after The Duel. It was his first wide-release Hollywood film, because it was a TV. Jaws. No, it was this movie. It's just Sugarland Express.
Oh, Sugarland Express? Okay, yes. All right.
That's why he mentions it, because it's like masturbatory. Because it's Hollywood bullshit.
Anyway, let's talk about this.
Throw it back for a second before we do that. The whole fucking movie, Swordfish, is a password from a fucking Marx Brothers bit from the 20s or 30s. But yeah, it's a password in a Marx Brothers bit. So the whole movie
is
a fucking Hollywood bullshit.
It's funny. Without even knowing this shit, this thing exhausted me the same way Once Upon a Time in Hollywood exhausted me.
Yes! Yeah!
just stop the nasal gave in.
Or one of these Tarantino movies that's just Hollywood up
the
ass.
Yes, later ones that weren't as good. Yeah, I didn't bother with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood just because of how I heard they did my boy Bruce Lee.
But anyhow,
it was a dream sequence, to be fair, but it was still this sucks.
Yeah,
it wasn't even that. It was just a slow, poorly paced movie. Didn't care.
So,
a big helicopter, very cool.
Helicopter's incredible.
And then it's a helicopter, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a helicopter. It has the ability to hover.
Yeah, it's a million
forward
pieces.
And sideways.
Yeah, it's a million pieces. Trying it can to go shake themselves apart.
It could go up, right?
Yeah.
So. Why doesn't it just do that the whole time? They're just flying above LA, but no, they got to go between the buildings and give us this great stunt, but stupid.
Because you said the crosswind was too strong when they tried to go up.
It's a fucking big ass Sikorsky, man. Like this thing is a hog.
The coolest thing about this whole scene, first of all, just rewind for a second. So I didn't realize till doing the research for the movie that they really did this. They flew.
Oh, yeah. No, it's practical as fuck.
CG. Yeah. It's very cool that it's all practical.
Yeah. That's why this is the other impressive scene in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, this is where the budget went.
But yeah, they pick up a city bus, and instead of going to the airport away from the city, they go towards the city, and they fly this bus through the city. And
they hit a sign that breaks one of the cables.
Oh God!
Yeah, it's another really innocent person. Wild chase.
It's funny. After having not seen this movie for 20 fucking years, I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, only that one lady died. with the vest. And here they are flying. I wonder, like, what would the range be? Like, would this guy blow up if he fell out, like, after he reached a certain, like, what would happen? And then it's the dumbest fucking thing in the world, because that's the whole reason Vinnie Jones is here, is to, like, drag this guy out with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And then they try to, this is another thing where they're trying to ride the fucking Matrix. They have this explosion next to, like, a building.
Yeah, an office building. And
people having, like, a meeting. It doesn't really look good. It's not. It's a really bad special effect.
It didn't look as good as the first one.
Well, it didn't look as good as the Matrix. Where, like, but the Matrix does that thing where it's like, boing, you know, it, like, fucking lets a pulse wave out before all the glass breaks, which is just, you know, beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And awesome. This is just like a...
Well, this is, I think what you're referring to now is a stunt that happens. I think that actually happened slightly earlier, where the helicopter kind of veers. Yeah, it doesn't really matter, but it veers really closely to this building.
Oh, no, it's
all out. Exactly. Is
talking about some dumb marketing shit.
It's so dumb.
And then, like, the tail end kind of swings through,
which I like. Yeah, like, I like the stunt. Yeah. You know, but yeah,
it was definitely a shot that was very, very reminiment of the Matrix.
Yeah. The boardroom shot. Yeah.
And I'd like to think too, the reason, well, one, they can't just copy it shot for shot. But also, I think it's because the Wachowskis, like, they've digested media and many things. You know, mm-hmm. They're smart ladies.
And they've discussed it.
And they just, you know, yeah, they're thinking about how do we do this incredible? How do we do this thing?
Yeah.
And the ripoff, which could, you know, too, I can't call it a ripoff. You could do a lot of homages. Fuck it. I don't care. You
there's
know,
tons of them. No, do, I mean, the Matrix changed cinema. A lot of things were,
yeah, if you know, do it well,
Equilibrium, you know.
Yeah. Just,
yeah.
I don't hate that movie, honestly.
It's a bad movie I love.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could do things well. You know, you could do a homage well. This wasn't that. Because, like, maybe they ran out of money, maybe lifting the bus up and...
Bang. Well, it's not clear what it was. Was it a celebration of all these things, Hollywood? Was it
mockery?
A tribute to all of... Was it a mockery? Which it opens, it sure seems like it.
I have no idea. That's the thing. That's the problem.
No, dude, I'm not going to sell you that eighth until you listen to me.
Realism.
Yeah. Realism. God. Did you ever just, like, not smoke weed, man?
Nightmare blunt rotation.
Did you ever just, like, start having really crazy dreams, man? You know, it would have been better if he was, like, some weird hippie who just, like, like, he was, like, smart Forrest Gump.
Actually, you know what? That would have made Gabriel's character, like, way more fascinating if he was just, like, some weird smart hippie instead of, like, chin strap man. Like,
yeah, instead of knockoff Armitage.
I've changed my fucking personality so many times I don't know who I am. Yeah. I'm gonna put on some My Chemical Romance.
Definitely, like, my has some emo vibe.
That's what he do. It's the
perfect emo. That is a man who listens to only, like, new metal, not, like, good new metal either.
I'm not you, Dad. Bang.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm gonna put on my Trapped CD.
There you go. See, I don't care about that.
There? Is that better?
Yeah, that's acceptable.
Dial that in a bit for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your tolerance. Anyway.
They're flying through the air.
We learned that Vinny was in this movie to die.
The cable gets
his best scene is literally falling out and getting hit with the fucking...
But honestly, though, after he opened his mouth in the last scene, just that line was so bad. I'm not even going to read it because it was
really, it's upsetting.
Yeah. What was it?
That line,
something about a suppository.
Rocket up his ass or whatever. It was just... somebody thought they were very artful in writing that line. I hope Vinny didn't come up with it himself because it was terrible.
You know, when we were all like 15...
Vinny, if you're listening, that was a joke.
We were all 15.
Nobody thought it was funny. It didn't land.
We'd be over our friend's cool uncle's house playing, like, horse. We try, you know, we get like one PBR in you and you start being like, yo, dude, I'll stick this whole basketball right up your butthole. And that's what this movie felt like. It was like literally written by, like, six kids, you know, 15-year-olds with one beer, like, one horse.
No, that was a terrible...
Trying to outdo each other.
Man, what would it be like to be a hacker? And one of them is clearly quite closeted.
Yeah.
I'm just always thankful. My aunt and uncle took me to see The Matrix when, you know, I was a child during that period of time. You know?
Oh, my God. I was on acid with my brother.
And I'm glad I saw that instead of this, because seeing The Matrix when I was, like, you know, very young is probably the reason I'm bi. But also, oh God, it's painful. It's really painful to see the similarities in this scene because
yeah.
I hate to say it. I think they tried.
No, I look like the, like I said, this was a film that was.
No, I'm not even just talking about
it was made.
Yeah, the film, yes, but I'm talking
about, I mean, it definitely doesn't feel lazy.
No, these the moments well, don't feel lazy at all.
The productions, they did the work.
Yeah,
like, everybody yeah, did the work. Everybody showed up for work.
I would say before, even the writer did. Like even the writer did the work. It's
this
just
is just
not very
some,
well.
I feel like there's not much it would take to make this a good movie without changing too much.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
with that.
What's frustrating.
You know, hard work isn't always hard work isn't always good work.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
You know what you would have to do? You would just have to make Neuromancer.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they're doing
fortunately, that. There's the TV show's coming out, which lets these guys off the hook, and we never have to talk about this again.
So
we only we're always talking about making fucking like, podcast episodes bad about movies. It. If you want to remake
like, Swordfish,
just make Neuromancer and make it like good.
Yeah. Just don't so remake this movie. How about that?
Basically like the city bus version of the Stray Light run here where they're flying through the skyscrapers and they do land the bus on top of this one building and some of the cops did manage to like chase them to the building. Mm-hmm. And this is where it starts to get real dumber,
more dumber.
Yeah. Because the Gabriel, I forget what they say, but there's a little bit of banter back and forth. The Hugh Jackman's like re-quoting himself in the beginning. You know, the bad guy has to suffer. Like the bad guy has to pay the price.
Bad guy can't win.
Mm-hmm. Bad guy can't win. That's it from Dog Afternoon. And Gabriel ostensibly gets onto the helicopter, and then Stanley remembers, "Oh, I'm trained in small arms. I'm going to get that.
Hold on,
RPG
before that scene. Yes, no, you were correct." We get a very rare, because I haven't been keeping our Stan count, and there have been many. We get a rare and elusive Stan Man at an hour 27 minutes, 52 seconds.
Stan the Man.
He says, like, buy Stan Man or something like that.
Yeah, he gives him a thumbs up, too.
I'm sure. Yeah. Good.
Oh, no. He tries to shake his hand.
Yeah.
But then Stan doesn't do it.
Yeah.
So he just walks off.
And then
you're icky.
He's busy remembering the RPG that's back on the bus. He goes back and gets it.
He's like, the suppositories.
This is like the worst idea. He shoots a helicopter out
of
the
air. Why is there a fucking RPG in
To do this? Anyway, do this.
It's just literally just there for this.
Maybe they can shoot this helicopter down in the middle of a crowded city, which is like
maybe this is hindsight. But those aren't that accurate.
No, they're not.
They're not accurate.
Not even that close.
You can't really shoot them up. That's the thing about it. They're lateral weapons. If you try to shoot them up, you can really burn your feet. They're not easily done.
On.
You can modify them, but it's not something
I have shot down a helicopter in Battlefield before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Oh, right.
It's not something that an untrained person who's just, you know, been a hacker so they could probably do without hurting
it. Absolutely.
And it's not like a seeking rocket. It's just a loose rocket. And again,
it does remember.
He suddenly remembers his small arms training.
I remember audibly groaning when it hit the chopper, which also looked as bad as the explosion outside the building with Vinnie Jones. Yeah. Like they were both really terrible.
I think it was a model, but
It was bad. Yeah.
Anyway,
like and they grafted like the explosion onto the thing, so like it didn't.
The
helicopter
presumably falls to the street below and crushes a dozen cop cars, which
a bunch of people.
Yeah,
probably
and then
trucks.
The feds probably get to the roof just at that time and tackle Stanley just after he shoots the rocket and
the one cop takes the rocket launcher and looks at it like it's going to be evidence.
Really weird the way he does that. It's really weird the way he does that.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I'm glad
he's really owning his feature. You know,
yeah, like, take Stanley away.
Yeah, we get another Stanley because we go to the quote unquote autopsy.
Yeah,
this is where I think this is going to answer a question you had, Shadow Link, about like the body.
This is the usual suspects.
No, it doesn't. It
where they
really
do a lot
doesn't.
Of hard cuts.
I love it.
But they pull back the sheet and you see that it's the body that looks like Gabriel from earlier that was in the wine cellar, which I guess had ostensibly been loaded.
They just
into
keep the fucking
the helicopter
in the fucking wine cellar.
Oh,
with a glass window.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. I understand now completely. Where the fuck did this body come from?
It came from the wine cellar earlier. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
No, I mean, before that.
Well, they loaded,
how
they
did they get the chopper? The body?
Considering
it was preloaded onto the helicopter that was waiting.
He was apparently Israeli something.
Yeah, he was Mossad. Oh, right. He was an ex-Mossad agent. So
yeah,
if you're curious where that body came from, Israel, apparently.
Okay, so then Gabriel is basically
a fictional.
He just assumed
Armitage is a hollow shell, man. Armitage is a hollow shell.
And then...
I hate this scene.
This is everything I hate.
Yep.
Ever in writing. I hate it. I hate it when it shows up. I hate movies that end like this. There were so many of these things in the fucking 90s. There were these like horror movies that would just have this one twist, you know, and the twist is always dog shit. Yep. You know, it was like Needful Things is a really good movie until like, oh, it's a demon. You know what I mean? It's like right. No, it works right up until like, it's a demon. Like, it doesn't have to.
Gotta rewatch it.
It could just be like a dude that disappears and it's scarier. Like, it's, this is.
So they go to Monte Carlo.
Don Cheadle
pretend back. Like we're drinking whiskey for this because this is.
I finished my beer, bud. I'm sorry.
Don Cheadle's acting in the film as the FBI agent, but he's acting completely contrary to his character the whole time. Like,
yes, suddenly nice, they're friends.
And then he's like, "Oh, you can go, dude. Like, go see your daughter." And it's like, "What? What the fuck?"
If at this point he had led with, "Look, we know you were coerced into this, and that you didn't mean to do any of it."
Yeah.
Then. This would have made a little more sense.
They have a lot.
At least, like, let me set this up and serve it.
They haven't been sparing with the exposition so far, so why not give us another fucking line?
Yeah, they didn't really make friends when they were on the phone together before the lady blew up. They weren't just sitting there being like, "Hey, how are the kids?" Like, they're not there yet. Like,
no, they're running
here
out of
we are at the end of this, and as an adult who has experienced things, and you know, I just. Assumed I filled in the blank for Cheadle where it was just like he's coming in and he's a little like sorry about all the grief we didn't, you know, like we see now, like you were definitely coerced into all that. Like there was none of that. I had it in my head because like the way he delivers the rest of these lines, mm-hmm. if he had said that first it would have made more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now they're buddies and he looks at this fucking dead body and it when I first saw it, I was just like, that's not even close to fucking John Travolta. Like,
it was like a very puffy night after. It's fucked
up too, because he was literally in the cafe with him. He's seen this man up close.
Yeah. But then he's just like something about like they haven't found Ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't find Ginger's body. He's like, well, body can't just disappear. Got to find her.
Mm hmm.
It's just so out of character for him.
He has this flashback sequence that's so dumb where they show you things that you couldn't have seen.
Wasn't there a line earlier, too, in the film about, you know, not something about
misdirection?
No, it was. I think it was before that. It was probably something that
ever hear better, Dini man.
Several lines of misdirection.
Something about not being able to put something together until like the end. I don't remember.
I don't know.
Well, there's ways of doing that. There's like again, the good mystery puts all of the elements in front of you, but it tells you a story around it so that like you can't piece it all together, and it's playing fair. You know, it's actually trying to give you a puzzle. And this doesn't do that. It just withholds information.
Yeah.
And not in every instance, but in a couple of key ones where like, it still doesn't quite explain how like, all right, spoiler, Halle Berry makes it. Don't know why she totally gets shot in the chest, but maybe that is just a fucking Hollywood squib. Maybe this was a Hollywood thing the whole time. Blah, blah, blah. It's dumb.
Yeah.
What the fuck? So you see Hugh Jackman blow up the helicopter. And when, like the helicopter blows up, they have this aerial shot of them looking down at him. And you can see the staircase, but you don't.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
They show you in this flashback, he goes down the staircase.
You just like, see a head going down the staircase.
And you're
but he like, it because the helicopter was in front of the staircase, so he wouldn't have been able to see it anyway. But the camera saw it, although he's remembering it.
Which means that like you back this up. You walk this back. All of this was Gabriel's plan the whole time, including like... parking the helicopter there and then putting the it's just like this Rube Goldberg machine, but it doesn't quite work.
No, I guess the helicopter pilot's dead.
I guess. Yeah.
And the rest of the gang that went up in the helicopter. Part of the plan. You get rid of the whole gang, dude. You keep the money. Come on, man.
Yeah, well, because that's how it ends up. Because, you know, we have this scene where
we're just going to leave this dead body on this helicopter. Don't worry about it, dude. Yeah. Don't freak out.
You're totally safe. You're getting paid well. You know.
Hey, wait, there's something in here.
Yeah. It's really looking pretty good for a fucking helicopter that gets RPG'd out of like 500 feet. But anyway, yeah, happy ending.
He gets his daughter back.
He gets his daughter back. He apparently isn't really big on spending $10 million because he just gets like kind of like a pickup truck and a trailer.
Pickup truck and an Airstream, baby. I mean, that's a good 100K right there.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. He'll be good for a while.
Yeah, you know, sure, fine, whatever.
And she's all like, let's go to the petrified forest. And I'm like, yeah, because I fucking feel like a tree. I just fucking want to be petrified and just fucking make me a national martyr.
And we get to the ending. So
well, hold on one second, because there's an alternate ending that stopped here where you see that Stanley has the 10 billion and he donates it all to various different charities before he hops into a really, really nice mobile home with his daughter and drives away. Huh. And that's like an alternate ending, but it didn't test as well as the real ending, which it opens in Monte Carlo. I mean, notes here.
Halle Berry goes into a bank and says,
stop taking notes at this point.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You're a better man than me.
Gabriel looking like NSYNC's manager.
I know. All it says in my notes is frosted tips.
Like, yes.
NSYNC. Oh, he looked 480p. So many frosted he just tips looked like, he looked, he just looked like, oh, wow, this guy could be a Silver Fox. And he turns around, his face is a little too fat for it.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. He looks,
he looks really jowly.
I tried to do that. Like
with the crazy.
It's really upsetting.
Raven haircut.
And again, Halle Berry in like 25 seconds transfers the GDP of a small nation at a bank in Monte Carlo. Like you can't.
You know, like you do, you know?
And then it closes on like a news report of Sheikh Bin Hazard El Rahman.
Well, they're taking off in a fucking boat. And the camera's chasing them in this like speedboat motorboat thing.
Yeah, we get news.
And then there's a big yacht out there, and the news comes up that like this terrorist died in an explosion today on a bus. And it does the same thing it did at the beginning of the movie, where it tells you the thing, and then it does the thing.
Yeah, then the yacht explodes because terrorists hang out on yachts, I guess. And
then we get the glitchiness, and then we get actually, admittedly, a pretty decent song with
And then the bad guys, we get an unsatisfactory ending. The bad guys won.
That doesn't even bother me. That doesn't even bother me.
I mean, zoom out on this. Like, what's the reality of this? Like, everyone's going to know it's America. Like, it's not.
Like, who does he work for? To be
clandestine? Yeah, he works for himself at this point. Yeah, well, he is Black Cell.
He's Cobra Commander.
Yeah,
he's like Like, what if, like, some Q-pilled fuck billionaire was like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, basically.
That's what I'm worried. If this comes back into circulation, somebody really dumb with a lot of money is going to get ideas.
Musk? Don't show this to Musk.
General Flynn? Listen to the podcast. You know?
Dude, he'll make this his whole personality for sure.
I'm not convinced that General Flynn hasn't seen this movie the way he talks.
Okay, so the final stand count.
There's some Alex Jones here and there.
There's a lot of Alex Jones in this film. I'm sure he's a big fan of this movie. So the final stand count. Stan is 25. Stanley is 22. And Stanman is 1.
I wish I could play that Eminem song in the background while you did that.
I just can't get over how many times. It's not even funny. If it was meant to be a joke, I don't get it.
Cyberpunk thing about this film is that it is just completely detached from reality.
Stanley is admittedly a little cyberpunk. The other thing, though, that it was just kind of like a big eye roll. Okay, so his daughter's supposed to be what, 8, maybe 11? Is she really reading Neuromancer? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Maybe she's cool. I don't know. She's got a cell phone. She got cool glasses. I liked her. Probably she's probably my favorite
of the future.
She was smarter than her dad. That's for sure.
Exactly.
Like, oh, for sure.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Just do a sequel of his daughter taking down Gabriel. Like, I don't know.
That'd be
Kill Bill style.
Actually, that'd be great. give that to Darren Aronofsky. Be like, listen, you got to do one for the studio real quick, Doc. You got to take this hit. You can do this, man. He'll knock it out of the park.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sure, why not? Like, because now we have this rogue terror. Like, it's not even a satisfactory ending. The bad guys really did win, and they're monsters.
It's look.
Well, then that brings it back.
One at a time. Make it Destro. Make this Destro origin story or something.
They're patriots, man. They're patriots. Yeah.
For the highest bidder.
It goes back to what you were saying, Scum, about how you don't really know how you're supposed to feel about the characters.
I don't know who I'm supposed to like. Am I supposed to like Gabriel? I'm supposed to sympathize with Stan.
It is a little cyberpunky, but unfortunately they expect you to sympathize with a fascist terrorist.
Do what I think is right, so I'm going to nuke your city.
What the fuck, dude?
He says the monologue is something like, "Who will attack America when they know what we're willing to do to them?" It's just really, I hear that making sense to a lot of podcasters I don't listen to, no matter how many times I get my feed.
Oh man, what a dog shit movie!
I'm sorry. Because I'm the one who suggested we watch this as a joke of, it's a bad movie. Let's do an episode on a bad movie, guys.
I seconded it. Do that. Just to point out how it's Neuromancer cribbed badly, and then let's change the ending real quick. Oh, and there was another alternate ending before this got to production where they actually just get to the airport and have a big shootout, and it's just really typical and boring. So at least they did something a little more interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
slightly, but like I said, I mean, it is just infinitely inferior to Neuromancer because it's not interesting.
No,
nothing about it is interesting.
The world building is
no substance.
If it had been a science fiction movie, I could have forgiven a lot more of it. Yeah. But it
had something to say about maybe class politics, way that Neuromancer did, or how we perceive reality. Which Neuromancer did.
I don't have kids. What would be my motivation? That's what I'm thinking. If he didn't have a kid, what would be his motivation?
I would have been more invested in Stanley if he was an amphetamine addict, Case.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. He was a clean living guy on
he just drinks a Heineken every once in a while.
I
think they were almost trying to jumpstart their own little mini. Universe, Born Identity kind of universe, Mission Impossible kind of universe.
Bond,
Bond or Mission Impossible.
It's clear that Profit was the underlying motivator here.
Well, they keep talking about framing it it's some criminal underworld of mercenaries and hackers that just doesn't really make a lot of sense because they're making it. It doesn't exist. Supposedly they're making it. So how does this?
And there's not even any hint to
Fast forward 20 years. We got the Wikiverse.
Yeah.
Doing everything this does far better.
Yeah.
You know,
that's very true.
It's just, Wick's more interesting. It's played
by an infinitely
better actor.
Yeah.
It looks better because it's not trying to rip off too many things. And even if it does,
and you know what? When people
there's been a direct line.
People fall down declining surfaces. In that franchise, I'm much more entertained.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, but this one, it entertained the fuck out of me.
I'm going to try to see if I can make see if there's a GIF of that.
Please. That would literally make my day.
If someone could make us a GIF of these idiots jumping down the hill, rolling. The entire bit, just over and over again, or just a video loop of that.
We will make that into a custom emoji.
Oh my god.
I will DJ with that projected on me.
Please.
Jesus Christ.
Look, I've been having a hard time. If you guys did that. My birthday's next month, I'm just letting you know. That would make me incredibly happy.
I think it's because it's so Midland. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because what I could say positively about it is it does a lot of the work.
There's a lot of good performances.
Yeah, the stunts are complicated. They're dangerous looking. You know, even if they're dumb.
performing great writing or great storytelling, but it's a good performance.
I only remember it because at that time, shortly thereafter, I worked at a video store, and even like 5 years later, there was still maybe a good 2 feet of the used DVD shelf that were just these DVDs for like 99 cents. Mm-hmm. Like they were everywhere.
It was a huge release. It was a huge, and a lot of it, unfortunately, was because of Halle Berry is billed as being like naked. And it was so stupid.
Yeah. That literally was too. It's not even a different time. Like it was
unfortunately
whenever you see a movie that says, you know, from the producers of a much more popular movie, oof.
Yeah, from the people who brought you,
From the people who brought you, but like in this instance, it was more like it should have worked on the star. The casting alone should have like been, hey, that's fine. Yeah. We don't need to know anything about the movie. And then they were like, oh, titties, and everybody was just like, bah. And then the movie sucked. You know, like people.
It is pretty pathetic, honestly.
Look, a global pull of 140 isn't on $100 million budget is not great.
No, that's pretty bleak.
Because that they're probably not even talking about marketing.
Well, again, I mean, the producer here is Joel Silver. If you know anything, you know, Hollywood, it's 48 Hours, Xanadu, Predator, Die Hard, Roadhouse. Some of the big ones. Predator 2.
One of my
Demolition
favorite
Man.
Mm-hmm. Another one.
Oh, he's huge.
Yeah.
He's done so much shit.
Yeah. No, it's not like this wasn't.
The pedigree is fine.
Hey, that's exactly what I was about to say. It's not like the pedigree has nothing to do with it.
It's like I love Robert Altman so much. I think MASH is still one of the best movies I've ever seen. As a fan of the TV show, I didn't see the movie until years later, and I think it's brilliant. I've watched it tons of times. Popeye sucks, and I love Robin Williams.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Love Sissy Spacek. That sucks. That's a bad movie that is hard to watch.
You can't knock.
There are a lot of things that need to come together for, you know, a film production to be successful.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good example of trying to like have all that. You have all the parts of something that should be incredible.
You have access to the resources to do almost anything you want to do.
Yeah. Imagine if somebody told you, I'm like, okay, you have near unlimited. And at that time, that was a lot. How much did you say? Like 200 million, like some stupid number. Like that's a lot
like
of
now?
Money.
It's maybe
224
That's an insane amount of money where it's like, okay, you have like a stupid amount of money.
That's like more than the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, like you have incredible actors. You have all of these things. And it goes to show how important writing. I feel like this is the film they want to make with like AI writers in Hollywood.
Like, yeah.
Jesus Christ, this feels like a fucking AI movie.
Yeah, like I feel this is kind of the thing where they're like, yeah, this passes, whatever. Like I don't give a fuck.
Written by like an extra credit to Grok.
Yeah, like that's what this kind of reminds me of, like how important writing is and editing in. And unfortunately, someone did try, I imagine, to put this all together.
Yeah. No, but obviously it was. It had a huge release. Yeah. In fact, here's the funny thing. It got yanked from theaters in England on November 12th.
Wow.
It was in like 300 theaters or something. And
is that how upset it made everyone?
People were just like, ooh, it blows up a fucking building in LA. Let's get this off the air. Well, I mean, that was it. Like, that's when the world changed in a lot of ways in terms of like information.
Gotcha.
Because like the radio stations stopped playing like certain types of music, like all the fucking shit everybody's already been paranoid about has already happened. You know, as far as like the government intelligence takeover, fucking psyop shit, everything turned into like propaganda after that. Everything turned into like, oh, the heroes. And I think Stanhope has a really good bit about how like firemen getting laid versus soldiers and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really funny. You know, it was just, it was really, really a fucked up time. They yanked. I'm going to be honest. I'm not the biggest Tim Allen fan, but Big Trouble was great. And that never saw a release. It went straight to DVD because it involves like a plane with a bomb on it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just all the stuff got like suppressed instantly.
I'm sure there have been studies on this, but I think it would be interesting. I'm not saying they were going to do this as an episode. Because
and then fast forward and fucking Robert Pattinson's like does a whole goddamn romantic movie that ends with him being on the floor at the window when the first plane hits the first building.
Yeah, that's...
I can't remember the name of that shit because I'll never watch it. But like, it was still like when I heard about that, I was just like, listen, is this what we're doing? Are we at that stage? Can I start making jokes about it? Like, what the fuck?
Sure, why not? I mean, it's been... I'm glad that we're able to look at it now, after so much time has passed, as such this a moment a where reality time. Has shifted, and our future has basically been decided. Like, everything's different now. Like,
well, all right. Suddenly, I've changed my opinion. This is a very important film for you to watch, because it'll give you a sign of, like, the headspace.
This movie feels like cocaine made it. And I'm not sure.
I was gonna say.
I'm not sure cocaine was involved.
No, I think this movie
feels like the like a friend being like, "Yo, man, yeah, no, I did tons of cocaine. He never did cocaine." Like that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I feel drugs had unfortunately nothing in the making of this film. Because we've seen plenty of movies where clearly there were.
Yeah, I've touched a boob before. It feels like a sandbag.
maybe
that's what this feels like.
Maybe it's too many different editors along the way, or maybe. Not.
Well, yeah, I mean, but this is—it's definitely a portrayal of American excess and the way that the it's things like we would do.
The reason why they hate our freedom,
American excess. You're saying? Would yeah, yeah.
It's a if celebration of the of we're all out of ideas.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. An actual celebration.
Yes.
That's actually
that's a good way to put it.
Kind of right on the man. Nose there.
Yep.
Cut, print, holy shit.
All right, I'm closing
the notebook. We're done with this dog. Fuck, I hate this fucking movie.
I can't believe you did it, guys.
Yeah.
Dumb nerd. Hell of a time.
I did not think it was going to take this long.
I had a feeling in the back of my mind, but it's kind of like, I'm going to ignore that because that thought fills me with dread and horror.
Well, I don't like to pre-plan too much of this, you know, like I like to have the narrative set up, you know, whoever's taking lead and stuff, but like, oh boy, man, it was weird though. It was an easy watch.
Dude,
because it let me dissociate for 40 of the 140 minutes. I had crazy thoughts, man.
Again, it was really wild to me looking back on it. I hadn't realized how close to 9/11 it was because I probably saw it in the theater and then probably didn't watch it again for a year or two. And just, there was so much going on at that point.
I was a completely different human being.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I didn't have the same. I have different anxieties. I have new anxieties after like 4 or 5 months later. You know what I mean? Like, it was just.
This movie is a peek into the end of history.
Yeah. I mean this is close. This is really close before like this is a safer look at the mindset of 2000 like early 2001 optimism.
Yeah.
Because like this is that things are going too well. Let's make a cynical prick of a fucking character and they didn't know what they were doing. You know, like it's they didn't quite nail it, you know.
They didn't know people like that exist in real life.
Yeah. And no one believed it because nobody really thought that.
No,
that's and the other thing. Like we have really never been attacked. Are you shitting me?
I'm really convinced that this was written by a closeted gay man. Like
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, though, man. I can see those the hijackers just sitting in the theater and watching this, just being like, "All right, man, let's just fucking
do it." Oh God.
Okay, maybe the bus chopper thing's too complicated. Let's just take flight lessons. You know, like
God.
Jesus.
Did anybody else feel as empty as I did?
I don't know. I liked it. I laughed. Like I said, it's a fun movie to me. I love it. It's like, all right, he pulled it off, you know?
You know, Zero, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I tried to
this
do that.
This is your Goku Midnight Eye.
This would be like me reading Neuromancer again because it's been about as long. And I didn't remember a lot of this movie. And when I watched it the first time, there were just a bunch of times where I would like,
yeah, me neither.
The thing that would pull me out of the middle distance was like, did you really fucking say that? And then the second time I watched it, it was just like, all right, fine. You know, like I see what this is.
Yeah. Cause time erased my memory of this film. And that's why I recommended it because the only vision I had was the gun. Cause I remember like when they would have it on TV, somehow they played this on TV where they have like advertisements for it. And it would be like, you know, the gun to his head and he's hacking. Of course they gloss over the fact he's also being sexually assaulted while doing that.
Mm.
And that was my only thought while I recommended this film. But then I watch it and I'm like, wow, that was way more fucked up than I remember it.
Yep.
That was hard.
It wasn't fun or cool. Like it was, I don't know. Like I said, at the time it was kind of like, all right, they're doing that too. All right. They're putting that on top of it. You know, it's like a hat on the hat on the hat.
It's me, 8 years old, trying to convince the other kids in the bus that those humps in front of the bank are actually dinosaurs that are hibernating. And convincing them.
And
then, like, you got to let that lie go until people keep looking at you like, are you still talking about that?
Yeah.
That's what this movie felt like.
God.
You're still trying to convince people of that and you're like 18.
No, they flattened that whole area and made a different thing.
Oh, okay.
It sucks now.
How are we closing this out, guys?
I don't even know. Yeah, wrap her up. I don't know. Like, I can't anymore. I've had enough caffeine.
I gotta point out, Zero, why did you type that? You could have just said it.
Say it. Wrap her up.
I don't want my Virginia.
Here's your sign. Bill Engvall, look.
The madness has crept in.
It's I'm referencing the Redneck Comedy Tour now.
Like, oh, it's like past midnight.
Who's the one? Ron White. He's a great storyteller. I will say that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Capture an audience. But yeah, that's Swordfish in all its glory. I don't know. Check it out. I thought it was fun. It's definitely worth. I don't know.
It's a movie. One of the films ever, and it was.
We can say that much.
No, it's actually. I'll tell you what. The biggest thing that you could probably get from it, whether you enjoy it or not, is it is a cultural touchstone for that era.
It's a snapshot of 2001. The first half of
2001. Like, we are now settled. It's in June. This film has come out midway through the year. All right. We got through, you know, Y2K, a bunch of other shit. Nothing really that serious. It was all kind of like, woo, you know, the rapture's going to happen during the eclipse shit. It wasn't that crazy. And then, you know, a few months later, it was just cue up Don Henley, The End of the Innocents. You know, like, fucking,
Yeah.
9/11, man. Yeah. Never remember to forget. Okay. Never remember to forget.
Forget to remember to.
No. Never remember to forget.
I don't. What do you mean?
Never remember to forget. Yeah.
That's what we're at.
So, for all you stands out there, you can find us at Neon Dystopia. We got to wrap it up. We have a Discord. You could all hang out with us there. Patreon.com/neodystopia.
If you enjoy our mad ramblings, throw us a buck or two.
Yeah. We're publishing fiction now, so your money helps fund that and get
right.
And help it. This is all you now. You fund this operation. It helps immensely.
It's so nice. Yeah. Once we get the Patreon up too, we'll be able to release more stories more frequently.
Yes.
So, you know, as it stands, one every 2 weeks, and you know, we're still going to be putting episodes of this out in between it all when we can, scheduling being.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Yeah. And
we're trying.
And the telephone episode's in the works.
Yeah, telephone episodes. I swear to God, I'm not. This isn't a joke.
You get what you pay for.
I fucked myself, and you guys are going to benefit. So it's going to be stupid long. I'm so sorry. I'm just going to say that now. Like, it's, and don't expect it next either. Like, I'm going to be completely transparent and honest. If you get this fucking thing by June, just understand that, like, I will have lost a limb probably in the course of like preparing this episode. Trust me, I've had a children's book. I have a book on a fucking copyright. Shit. I don't.
We didn't ask him to do this. This was supposed to be a group effort.
Don't put me in the fucking Library of Congress. Why did you let me go? No one could stop me. I was fucking. I thought I was going to be tougher. They were like, "Hey, you got to check your backpack." I was like, "Okay." And I walked in with a notebook and got my card, and I was done. Like, I did it on my phone, and then in front of them, and then somebody printed out like a plastic card with my face on it. Fucking like 10 minutes later, you're screwed, people. It's going to be so much. It's going to be so long. You know, I'm sorry.
When I went there,
a lot of reading, bud.
I was wearing my tinfoil tricorn and my 1776 shirt, and it took a little longer.
Nah, the trick is to look boring. Jeans, flannel, t-shirt. That's it. Done.
Being called Stan helps.
Yeah. We're a baseball cap.
Right. You don't want to wear.
Smile and be friendly. And they're. Oh, no. Here's the best.
You don't want to.
I got to tell you this. So I'm filling out the application and I'm doing it on my phone because they give you, there's like, they have a bunch of QR codes and you pick the one you need for the thing you need to do. And I'm filling this thing out. And like down at the bottom, they're like, is this for like, what was it, like personal or like commercial reasons? Like, are you coming in here for like, or whatever? I can't remember. I was like, can I like put in podcaster? And the lady, she was just cool shit. She was like, I don't give a shit what you put. And I was like, really?
That alone would just make me salute.
Stunt man. Like, what do you want? Like, I tried to think of something like weirder. And I was like, I'll go with podcaster. It's weird enough to be getting your fucking reader's card at the Library of Goddamn Congress with that on it. It's somehow doesn't diminish the Library of Congress so much as it elevates podcaster.
Define I will commentator. Keep
talking.
Read that to the outro.
Yeah, I need to stop.
All right, let's go to bed.
Right.